Would you join me in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 14 as we look at another example of a dangerous prayer in the Bible? We come to verse 36 of Mark 14. This dangerous prayer is prayed by Jesus Christ to his Father the night he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot into the hands of the religious leaders of the Jews. Before we read the text, as we approach it, there are two thoughts that are essential to the text that we need to think about. So, even before we dig into the verse, which is very familiar to us, I want you to think with me about these two thoughts, because they're essential as we seek to understand why this is a dangerous prayer. I want you to think first of all about this. Jesus knew what lay before him. He was not praying this prayer ignorant of what was in store the hours and days ahead. That sets it apart. You and I often don't know what is days ahead or even hours ahead in our lives. But Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place. He knew about the betrayal. He knew about the trials. He knew about the beatings and the suffering. He knew about the crucifixion. He also knew about the resurrection. He was aware of every bit of the suffering and triumph that were to come that lay before him. And so keep that in mind. Jesus knew what lay before him. But then I want you to remember this too. Jesus was both God and man. He was perfectly and completely endued with the natures of both the Godhead and humanity at the same time. Anytime you study the scriptures and you read about the life of Christ, you need to understand that you cannot separate one from the other, because Jesus was never separated one from the other in any context or situation. In every situation of life, he was both God and man completely at the same time. Those two unique aspects of this context as we approach Mark 14, we have to keep in mind as we consider this dangerous prayer. Jesus knew what lay before him. He was completely God and man. And those cannot be separated one from the other. These two cannot be separated from this context. So with these things before our eyes, look with me at Mark 14, 36. We read these words. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Those two words that Jesus opens the prayer with are so full of meaning and encourage us. Abba, Father. Jesus repeats two words for the same family relation, a child to a father, side by side in repetition, but they have a little bit of a different meaning, a little bit of a different connotation. Abba, we would think of as the title of a young child to a father. It focuses on the intimacy of that relationship that exists between a child and his father, his dad. It speaks of the joy of relationship and the intimacy of fellowship that exists there. And then Jesus uses that title, Father. This title focuses more on an older child, perhaps an adult son, and the privilege of relationship. The privilege that is the son's honor to enjoy because he is a son of the Father. Jesus uses these two titles in a unique relationship with God. A relationship, by the way, friends, that you and I are invited into to participate in and enjoy the intimacy and privilege of ourselves. Here's what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of the adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What a wonderful privilege this union with Jesus is, that he could cry out about the joy of intimacy of relationship. He could cry out about the privilege of relationship as he prayed to God the Father. And you and I, if you're a child of God, have that same joy and privilege to cry out to our Abba Father. As you're looking at Mark 14:36, I would suggest underlining these words from this verse. All things are possible. And then the phrase, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Can I ask you to look at those two groups of words, those two phrases, and consider them very carefully? What did they say to you? These words really stand in juxtaposition to one another. They are so profound, they're so deeply filled with meaning. It's as if almost they are in contrast to one another. All things are possible. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. These two phrases standing in juxtaposition to one another in this text, in this context, tell us this truth. Don't miss this. God can do anything that we ask him to do, but that does not mean that God will do everything we ask him to do. Did you catch that? God can do anything that we ask him, but that does not mean he will do everything that we ask him. How should we behave and pray in light of these twin truths? All things are possible. Nevertheless, not my what I will, but what thou wilt. Well, let me give you three thoughts. Number one, if we're going to authentically approach God and pray this type of dangerous prayer and experience the transformation and the being drawn nearer to the image of Christ and nearer in our relationship to Christ that dangerous prayers can produce in our lives, then we need to first acknowledge the possibilities. Acknowledge the possibilities. Many of you who are listening to me this evening, I know that's true of those here in the auditorium, and perhaps many of you who are listening by way of the internet, you have older children. Do you remember when your children were a younger age, young enough to still think that you could do anything and everything? My kids are pretty well in that stage right now. Dad and mom can do everything, can do pretty much anything. Many kids have that time early in their lives where they view their parents in this way. Their parents are superheroes who can do anything. They live with this earnest belief that there is nothing that dad or mom cannot do. But what happens as they grow older? It seemingly slowly, I guess probably if you've been there, done that pretty quickly, it transitions from mom and dad can do anything, can do everything, to I'm not even going to ask mom or dad about anything because I don't think they know anything. They can't do much of anything. It seems to be that way with kids at times. What can God do? Perhaps it would be easier to ask the question, what can't God do? What did Jesus acknowledge in his prayer? Jesus acknowledged a biblical perspective that God can do anything. All things are possible unto thee. Starting in Genesis, we find this taught consistently throughout the Bible. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Job 42, verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And then in verse 27, God is speaking and says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? In Luke 1, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus speaking, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Friends, the Bible reality is God can do anything. If all things are possible with God, why are we so often guilty of placing limitations on God with weak prayers? Have you ever been guilty of that? I know I have been. Is it possible that we actually receive less from God than we could because we place limitations on God with weak prayers? Is that possible? James chapter 4 and verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Let me ask you again, scripturally, is it possible that we actually receive less from God than we could because we place limitations on God with weak prayers? Jesus said this in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. These are promises from the Lord Jesus Christ about seeking God in prayer. I am convicted that there are times that I approach God in prayer and I don't come to God acknowledging the possibilities that are realistic with my God, one who can do anything. We approach God so weakly. We approach God so beggarly. We approach God so lacklusterly, if that's a word. When we have a God who can do anything. What did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20? That we have a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I have to wonder if Paul might not have used that language because of the human nature. To come to a God with whom all things are possible, and yet we come to God with weak prayers. Why don't we ask for the miraculous? Why don't we ask God to allow us to see something that we've never seen? Why don't we ask God to do something great for us rather than just good or okay for us? Jesus Christ came to his Father acknowledging the possibilities. Father, you can do anything. You can do all things. Nothing is beyond your power and ability to do. Friends, a transformative prayer life that grows more dangerous may be yours and mine as we authentically acknowledge the possibilities. Your Heavenly Father can do anything that you ask. Number two, don't miss this. Acknowledge your preference. Do you ever approach God with a timidity to tell God what you really desire? Do you ever come to God about a situation or an experience and you fear being honest with God? You fear making yourself vulnerable before God? Why? What is true of the context of Mark 14, verse 36? I'm going to ask you some real basic questions here, okay? Who was praying in Mark 14, 36? Answer at home, those watching, who was praying in Mark 14, 36? Jesus was. What did he know about the plan of his Father? Did he know what God's plan was for him? Yeah, he did. What was it? To go to the cross, right? He already knew this was his plan. Remember, Jesus knew what lay before him. Jesus isn't praying to the Father in this context, not knowing what was before him. Jesus didn't pray to the Father in this context, not knowing what the Father's will was. Jesus wasn't praying to God separate here, man, but not God. No, in every context, in every situation, Jesus was all man and all God at the same time. He knew what lay before him. He was all God and he was all man. Then answer me this question. Why did he make this request? Take away this cup from me. Jesus was praying. He was God and man. He knew what the Father's plan was. And yet he prayed, take away this cup from me. Jesus, as all man and all God, acknowledged that at least in some sense, don't misunderstand me, Jesus was not uncommitted. Jesus was not unsubmissive and unyielded, but in some sense, Jesus acknowledged that he preferred another path to the desired outcome. What was the desired outcome? Salvation, the redemption of men. And in the night of his passion, as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, the Bible tells us as Jesus made his way to the garden with his disciples, after he had already encouraged them, let not your heart be troubled, the Bible tells us that he began to become very heavy. He was agonizing. He was suffering. He was in a very real, physical, emotional, and mental sense struggling. And as he approached the Father in prayer, knowing what God's will was, being all God and all man himself, Jesus acknowledged, I know what we're working toward, redemption, salvation. And I can't completely understand it, and neither can you. But in some sense, he said, I wish there were another way, another path. Let me ask you this question. If Jesus, the perfect Son of God, could wrestle and agonize with the Father in prayer, why can't we? The reality is, if Jesus can do it, so may I. It is not inherently wrong to ask God questions, to share your preferences with him, to exhibit vulnerability with him. Be honest with God. Why do we behave as if we're doing something wrong or sinning when we approach God in any given situation or experience and share our hearts with him when our hearts are struggling and agonizing? Be honest with God. Acknowledge your preference. But we have to move on to number three and remember that even as we acknowledge the possibilities and acknowledge our preference, dangerous prayer includes acknowledging his purpose, his purposes. Jesus was not less than perfect in this. He was not unsubmitted, unyielding, disobedient. He wasn't uncommitted. Because Jesus ultimately provided the end game of prayer. What is the end game of prayer? God's will, yeah. Here it is. God can do anything. And Jesus presents here the reality that it is okay to say to God, here's what I want. But what's unfortunate is that's often where we stop in prayer. Here's the situation, God. Here's what I want. Boom, we're done. We may recognize that God can do anything, and we ask him to do the thing that we want him to do, and then we conclude and wait for him to do what we've asked him to do. Is that how Jesus prayed? God, you can do anything. Take away the cup from me. I know the desired outcome. Let's figure out a different path. Now I'm going to wait for you to answer the prayer. Is that how Jesus prayed? No. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Prayer that is dangerous, authentic, and transformative leads to this place. The place where prayer is not about getting God to alter his plan to acquiesce to your purpose, but the place where it is about aligning ourselves with his purpose. If we leave that out of prayer, then we have missed the entire point. The end game of prayer is not God, you can do anything. Here's what I want you to do, and now I'm going to wait for you to do it. The end game of prayer is, God, you can do anything. I'm going to be honest with you. Here's what I desire. But God, whatever your will is what I want to see done. Do you remember Jesus' model prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know what prayer is ultimately about? It's about getting God's will so perfectly accomplished in my life, just as it is in heaven. Prayer is not trying to move God to alter his plan, to acquiesce to our purpose, but it's about me aligning myself with his purpose. One writer said it this way: God has a will which is to be accepted rather than altered by prayer. Prayer, so understood, consists not in changing God's mind, but in finding our own alignment with God's will, where our desire is not in line with God's purpose. It is the former which must give way. It's our desire that has to give way to God's purpose. How might not only my prayer life, but my life in general be transformed if I prayed more dangerously this way? How about you? If I were willing authentically to say, God, here is that situation with my job. Here's what I want. But God, I'm not stopping there. What do you want? Now move me toward what you want. Hey God, here's what I am dealing with my children. Here's the outcome I want. But God, I'm telling you, it's okay to do what you want with my children. God, here's the challenge that is driving a wedge between me and my spouse. Here's what I want. But God, I know that's not the end game of prayer. What is your will? Drive me to the place of acceptance of your will. God, here's my health predicament. I know this is what I want. But God, your will is best. And I will yield what I want to your will. Friends, this is the end game of prayer. And that is what makes this a dangerous prayer. The danger doesn't necessarily come in, God, you can do anything. Although we fail there sometimes, don't we? The danger doesn't necessarily come in, God, here's what I want. Although I think we can be timid and fearful of being honest with God. But the real danger of this prayer is the end game of prayer. God, it's not about what I want, but it's about what your purpose is. How might your prayer life and your life in general be transformed if you prayed more dangerously this way? How might your outlook change? How might your focus change? How might your relationships change? How might your interaction with your children or your spouse or your neighbor, or your supervisor, your boss, change. If this was your prayer life, as we have for several weeks, I want to ask you as we close to reflect on your prayer life tonight. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't even know, I've lost count. We've been looking at prayer for many weeks. But as we've looked at this particular passage in light of this idea of dangerous prayers, transformative prayers, let me ask you a series of simple but thought-provoking questions. Are you guilty of placing limitations on God because you do not authentically acknowledge the possibilities? Do your prayers consist of weak, timid prayers because you do not authentically approach a God that you truly believe can do anything? How does honesty, questioning, and vulnerability make their way into your prayer life? I believe that if you are sincerely honest with yourself, there are times you have questions. There are times you struggle and agonize in your heart and your mind with God, and yet we can be timid to address those questions and those agonies to the Lord. And then let me ask you, what does your end game of prayer currently look like? And how does it need to change? It can grow beyond this, but perhaps you just need to start making a practice of ending your prayers with, "Not my will, but yours." Maybe you need to adopt, "Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven." And as your prayer life grows and matures, that request can grow and mature into those specific needs and challenges and situations of your life where you are authentically willing to turn over the situation, to turn over the relationship, to turn over the difficulty to God and say, "God, whatever your will is in this situation, that's what I want." As you and I reflect on these engaging questions, let's seek the Lord to lead us into a more dangerous prayer life. Heavenly Father, our prayer lives often are too safe, often are too weak, often are not transformative enough. Forgive us. And help us to grow from a place of weak, safe, non-transformative prayer lives to a place of dangerous, authentic, transformative prayers. Help us not to be guilty of placing limitations on the God who can do anything. Connected to the truth that that does not mean you will do everything that we ask, But Lord, help us to yield ourselves to your purpose. Help us to truly come to the place of turning over every situation, every experience, every relationship, every difficulty to you. Trusting you to do your will for our good and your glory. And we will be sure to praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.